Hallelujah. We're still on our Prosperity God's Plan for the Believer series. And this will be part four. Hallelujah. Now, we did say that prosperity is the condition of being successful or thriving or flourishing luxuriantly or to yield abundantly continually. Praise the Lord. Success and prosperity are synonymous. Hallelujah. It's not something that happens just once. If you have a lot of money just once and that's it, that's a miracle. You're not prosperous. Hallelujah. And God's plan is for his people to prosper. Glory be to God, to advance, to gain in everything good and desirable. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, last we talked about being led by the Spirit of God when you want to prosper. Praise the Lord Jesus. First, we talked about the fact that you need to hear the Word of God. Number two, we said you need to study and meditate upon the Word of God. Number three, we talked about the fact that you be led of the Spirit of God. Be led of the Spirit of God. That's where then it comes to subjective leading, a personal leading. The Spirit of God will tell you. Now, the Bible says, give to him, Jesus said, give to him that asketh thee, of him that borrow of thee, refuse not. But then the Holy Ghost moderates that. The Holy Ghost will tell us who to give to, when to give it, and when not to give it. There are times where, you know, even ministers, we out of naivety, we give to everybody who asks us stuff. And you don't even know what he's going to do with the money you gave him or her. And so sometimes when you want to do some things, God will stop you. So we give as we are led. Hallelujah. Now, when we prosper, we're prospering for the advancement of God's kingdom. Hallelujah. And we are blessed as we do that. There's no way you're going to stand in the rain that you won't get beat. You get wet. You stand out there, no umbrellas and all of that, no raincoats. You're going to get wet. So there's no way that God is going to use you to prosper and advance his kingdom that you will not be blessed. Hallelujah. Remember that the purpose of our prosperity is to establish God's covenant. Sometimes it's going to be his promise within your family. Hallelujah. As he's prospering you, he would expect you to, the Bible said that wealth and riches shall be in your house. So you begin to take care of those who are around you. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Within what is reasonable. Amen. Hallelujah. So allow the Spirit of God to lead you in investment, in who you marry and all of that, in where you're going to live, in where you go to church, in the things that you do. Glory be to God. Be led of the Spirit of God. Allow the Spirit of God to lead you. You're about to make an investment decision. Ask God. Say, what should I do? Then he will tell you. When you collect money, ask God. Where should your money go? He will tell you. With you giving to God comes increase. No giver is, the hand of the giver is never closed. Because when you open to give, God will put something in there. Hallelujah. You know, there's an elderly woman that I, wish to send things to. And whenever she prays for me, she says to me, your hand will never touch the bottom of your pocket. Hallelujah. And I'll say amen. And I'll walk away. Praise the Lord Jesus. And surely my hands have not touched the bottom of my pocket yet. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. So the giver does not lack. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. The Spirit of God, we are led primarily through the Word of God. Hallelujah. We're led primarily through the Word of God. Now, in the leading of the Spirit of God, humility is important. Because the leading can come, the Spirit of God confirms to us those things, even when people say things to you, the Bible says that the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. And these witnesses are God orchestrated. What do I mean? It's not that you're discussing something with somebody and the person, you told the person, I heard this from the Lord, and the person now says, yeah, I confirm that that is God. Sometimes it may be that way. If you don't have scripture, the person can give you a scripture. But most of the time, we're talking about something happening without you engineering it. Maybe God said something to you, and then the TV comes on, and then some preacher who doesn't know you says something, and it lines up. then that's one witness, right? Praise God. And you come into church and you were talking with a sister, had nothing to do with it. They just out of nowhere come, say those things that God said to you. That's number two. Say, God, okay, I have two. I need one more because this decision is very important. Praise the Lord Jesus. You're carrying, God gives us parameters to decide, to be able to judge whether something came from him or not. So I'm waiting. You came, you know, and you were talking. Maybe Pastor Patrice, you were talking with her, and she said the same thing. Then you say, okay, wow, is God wanting me to do this? At the mouth of what? Two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. There is the inward witness that confirms everything. We follow what God says. Hallelujah. We are obedient children of God. We're not rebellious children of God. The Bible said the rebellious will dwell in a dry land. So we're not rebellious. We're obedient children. If you lack discipline, the world will be a difficult place for you. Anybody who lacks humility to be obedient to God as a child of God, things will be difficult. Hallelujah. A dry land is not a place of prosperity. Amen. So we have to be humble. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4. Humble to the Lord. Now, there are people who are humble about every other thing besides God. You see a lot of unbelievers, when they come, they say, you know, you must be humble. And they're trying to be humble, and they're showing their so-called humility. They can bow down for you to march over them. They call that humility. But when God says not to do something, it is that thing that God said not to do that they will do. So Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 4, hallelujah. It says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Glory be to God. What is humility? Is to stay subject to God's word, to God. What is pride? Is pride is to disregard God's word. God is saying something and you say, no, I'm not listening to you. Why do we want to do it that way? Why are we looking at humility from that perspective? The reason why we're looking at it from that perspective is that it is the law of the universe. It is the governing principle of the universe. God's word is the governing principle of the universe. If you follow it, anybody will call you humble. If you follow the word, if you're doing God's word, anybody seeing you will call you humble. He says, when your parents see you and you honor them, they'll call you humble. Is it not true? Glory be to God. When your pastors are dealing with you and you do the word, the way it's said, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Even with your employer, God's word tells us how to react. You might even be upset inside, but as long as you do the word of God, you'll be called humble because it's your governing principle. The Bible said, this shall be your wisdom before the nations. The word of God becomes your wisdom. We don't do things just how we feel. No, we're not moved by our feelings. We can feel anyway. You know, feelings are like sometimes Florida weather, you know? You look into a gas station, you turn and there's rain on the road, you know? So we're not moved by how we feel or what we see. We're moved by the word of God. And when we're doing the word, the nations look at us and say, we're humble. And when you obey God in spite of the circumstance, the Bible says that God, Jesus, humbled himself unto death, the death on the cross. You know, while he was on the cross and those men were doing what they were doing, they were whipping him, they were doing all kinds of things. He is God. He could have zapped them. You know, when they wanted to say, let us strike them. What did Jesus say to the disciples? He said, know ye not of what spirit ye are of? Hallelujah. Now, there is a time for us to execute judgment. There is a time for that. Hallelujah. There's a time for us to execute judgment. But it's not all the time that is what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. Glory be to God. When God gives us judgment and says execute it, it's also obedience and humility in the sight of God. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us, it says, what does God require? But that we walk humbly with our God. Amen? Glory be to Jesus. So when we do the word, we are walking in humility. Amen? Thank you, Lord Jesus. And when God gives more grace, he had showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Now, in James chapter 4, verse 1, it says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. I want you to underline the fact that you ask not. Because sometimes people tell us that when it comes to prosperity, your prayers don't have any place. And it's not true. The fact that you got it some other way does not mean that prayers do not work when it comes to finances. At least your prayers can produce seed and sustain what you're doing, among other things. But prayer is a vital element in prosperity. Great prosperity comes with great prayers and carrying out kingdom instructions. Amen. Hallelujah. Ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lust. So you're not supposed to be praying for prosperity to use it contrary to the will of God. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant as it is this day. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so God gives us prosperity for his purpose. We're not praying to get money so that we can oppress people. We're not supposed to get money so that we can sponsor evil things. That's not the reason why we're getting money. Praise the Lord Jesus. We're getting money to advance the cause of Christ and to prosper people, other people, help people. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? So there's no way that the world is your focus and they are your friends, and that is what you lean to and expect that things are going to work out right for you. Amen? Because you're an enemy of God. Hallelujah. You're an enemy of God. You're not a friend of God when the world is your friend. Hallelujah. Because they're going to give you ideas that are contrary to the word of God. When you say that your platform are for God haters, atheists, agnostics, and every kind of thing that the word of God speaks about, and you are their friend, you are an enemy of God. If you like, be speaking with tongues. You're just a tongue-talking enemy of God. He says here that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Is the enemy of God. Now, God was not speaking here to unbelievers. He was speaking to who? Believers. So when a believer turns his back on God and begins to support some things, he becomes an enemy of God. And you will not prosper. You know, when God is against you, you will not prosper. How many of us, even when God is not totally against you, just partially against you, you will still not prosper? Look at the men that carried Jonah. And in the goodness of their hearts, they wanted to row to land and ask Jonah to come down quietly so they can continue their journey. God did not allow them to do it. As they were roaring to land, he was sending waves to drive them back to where they were coming from. After a while, they say, God, don't be angry. They carried Jonah and threw him overboard. That was after they had lost their goods. Do you think that the scripture said in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? When he says there that the spirit lusteth to envy, what is he talking about? He's saying that, you know, when we begin to gravitate towards the enemy and his things, the spirit of God in us begins to become jealous of what we're doing, because we're supposed to be gravitating towards him. Instead, we're going in the direction of the adversary. It's like when people are married And you see your spouse having a good time with somebody else of opposite sex that they don't have with you. You know, it's like when they look at the person, they smile. When they turn to you, they frown. You know, that kind of thing. You know, so you're not going to be pleased with that. Amen. That's how the Spirit of God feels when we gravitate towards that which is not of God. That's what he's saying here. Next verse. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now, the Bible said that the giver, God, will make all grace abound toward you. But if you're a proud person, God is not going to give you. Even if he gives you, what he's supposed to give you is far more than what you're getting. His hand is shortened to do some things for you because you are pleasing and annoying him at the same time. God resists the proud. It is not the devil. It needs that we need to be humble to receive from God. So we have to be humble. Let's keep reading. He gives more grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee from you. So even in your battle of life, if you're not humble to do what God said to do, it will be difficult to resist the adversary. Amen. I don't go to church because my friends are going. I'm going because the scripture says, do not forsake the gathering of yourselves as the manner of some is. I'm not, the fact that I don't go because my husband or wife is going. I go because the word of God says that's what to do. So I'm submitting myself to the Lord. I don't tithe because it feels good to tithe or my friends are tithing, so I'm tithing. No, I tithe because I love God and I'm willing to do what it pleases him. I give my offering for the same reason. You can't lose with God. Nobody can outgive God or lose serving God, doing what God said. If you're doing every other thing and when it comes to giving, and carrying out kingdom details and supporting the work of God, you are not involved. You won't prosper much. Hallelujah. You can even earn a lot of money, but the Bible says God will blow on it. Huh? And it will just disappear. You won't know what you did with it. Hallelujah. You won't know what you did with that money. You can earn less and do more with it. Hallelujah. You can earn, what did I say? You can earn less and do more with it than somebody who has much. Glory be to Jesus. So don't let anybody stop you. There's something in the book of Haggai chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 2. I just want to show you this there. God expects that you be zealous for his kingdom. He said, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts. I'm reading verse 2. Saying, these people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. You clothe, but there is none warm. He that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. He said, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, bring wood, and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. You made an investment. You were expecting a lot of things to come out of it, and it came out good for everybody else. But for you, it didn't seem to work out well. And when he says, you looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is waste, and you run every man unto his own house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground bringeth forth and upon men and upon cattle and upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Joshadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Hallelujah. And so when people turn and start doing things zealous for God, we're going to pray for the house of the Lord. We're going to worship in the house of the Lord. We're going to be part of the things that we're doing in the house of God. You will prosper. Prosperity is not just, you know, sometimes some people give their tithes and they walk away. Yeah, a measure of the grace of God comes upon you. But there's more. Hallelujah. There's more. Don't be somebody who's just at ease in Zion. There's nothing you're doing for God. Do something for God. Hallelujah. Do something for God. Be active. Are you an usher? Do it well. Do it with the gladness of your heart. Rejoice in the Lord. Delight in Him. Delight in the things that have to do with God. It's a choice. You should draw nigh to God, come near to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. What is that? Do things the way God wants you to do them. I'm not saying go and be walking around with your head bent down and all of that. Just turn. That's a 180-degree turn. Just make a U-turn and head in the direction of God. That's all.